defeated.
Redbird Sports Talk, interviews, and professional sports news, all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
It's a happy Thursday, birds, for two out of the three of us, as Ben Hootie broke his phone. We'll get into that later in the show. We got a lot to talk about today. We got the biggest game in professional sports on Sunday. We got an interview with the new ISU soccer coach. But first, just like the Bulls, we didn't trade any of our staff. We got Brayden Fogerson and Ben Hootie with Mikey Frinelli on the Red Zone. Boys, how are we doing on another Thursday evening from the WZND studio?
Horrible.
Well, yeah. Okay, Brayden.
Mine's been going well. It's been kind of a busy day, but not too busy.
Brayden and I have started our Thursdays so far this semester. Every day we see each other bright and early at 7:30 in the morning for TV10 News. And we usually see each other, and Ben usually comes in after his class, and we have a little bit of a production meeting during the morning, which has been nice. We don't usually do it over text anymore. We have a nice little production meeting for the Red Zone on Thursday mornings. Gets us in the right space. We introduced a new game last week. We'll get to that again today.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's talk about Ben's phone.
Yeah.
Broke it on a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Your face ID is gone. Your camera area looks like it's pretty roughed up.
Yeah, it's all screwed up, man. It's just the start of my day, and everything was going so well this morning. Got up early, made breakfast, went to class, went to the gym,
came back.
And immediately just my day was ruined after that. I haven't done anything since then until now. It slipped, fell on a coffee cup, didn't land in the coffee, but it hit the side of a glass coffee
cup.
Probably
would have been better off having landed in the coffee.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
It's give or take.
Yeah. It's my camera's all roughed up. I have to go back down to the city because the only place that could fix it is an Apple store because of the Face ID function. So, yeah, my day is just it's just bad things on top of bad things for me today.
I guess that's bad. I guess that's the only way we can describe it. It's kind of a somber way to start the show, but we hope the best for you and your phone as we move on. Brayden Fogerson, we started our day talking about sports today, but we got in a little bit on TV about this ISU men's basketball team, and we'll start there. Another tough loss last night.
Exactly, but they were missing three key players in one game, and so you had to feel that it was going to be even tougher. Saturday was one thing, losing to Bradley, but this game, was still even close despite missing, especially Darius Burford, but three key players all at one time. And, it's just going to be a loss. It's a 61-56 loss to UIC. You had to feel like maybe Illinois State was going to get to turn it around, and just disappointing to not get it that time.
The Birds fall to 5-8 in the conference. Did you guys see this Drake and Indiana State game over the weekend in the Missouri Valley? I know somebody had it for 3 up, 3 down.
I did.
You did.
I think I lost that one.
I was about to say, I think you picked Drake, right?
Yeah.
The final score did end up being 75-67, but with 48 seconds left, it was tied at 67. And the man they call Robbie Nerd, Avila, he hit a huge three-pointer. Best player Indiana State's seen since Larry Legend himself.
And I know him.
What'd you say? And you do know him from back in the day. Buries a three, gets the win for Indiana State, improves to 20-3 on the season. Is it March Madness, potential run watch for the Sycamores this season?
I mean, everybody's kind of buying into them just because this weird looking dude with sports goggles is just playing out of his mind. He could shoot the three. His name's Robbie Avila. He's getting the national attention. It's pretty awesome to see, a local kid from where I'm from, really shine, especially considering, his build and everything.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy to look at, but he's the best player on a really good Indiana State team. And we've seen some Valley teams in the past make some deep runs in, March Madness. So I would not be shocked if the Sycamores are one of those teams because they are getting a lot of national attention.
20 points and 11 boards for Avila in the win against Drake. ISU, foe, Tucker DeVries, 26 points for Drake wasn't enough as the Sycamores win that. You would think the preview of the Valley Championship after Drake won the Valley last season, but that was a great game. I wanted to get to that before we moved on because, I was watching that from a Chili's, of course, where I like to watch all kinds of great sports. I love Chili's, not a paid ad, but I loved going there to hang out. And, Indiana State, nice, huge win. And we move on to this women's basketball team who has been on a different streak of their own, had obviously a couple wins in a row, and they head into a weekend where they're going to go on the road against both Iowa teams. They beat them both when they played at home, and Gillespie said during the coaches' show that, yes, they look at every weekend individually, but it feels pretty important to go on the road against you and I and Drake and potentially come out with two wins.
Yeah, they're going to be definitely two teams that you can't look past for one, but it's also taking a look at what are you going to expect from this team if you see them again. What can you learn? What can you get in film? Some info prepping for, you know, facing them again. You know, Drake able to beat them once and do it at home, but it's been a while since they've been able to have that sort of similar success on the road. So that'll be a different animal. And then, you know, we'll see how this, you know, next week goes for them.
This weekend's obviously very important to their season because it's two of their, I would say, two of their biggest rivals since Gillespie's been here.
Yeah.
I kind of like the direction that this team's headed in. They're not as flashy as they were last year because they were so good all year long last year, but I kind of like how this team, like, struggled in the middle of the season and is kind of blooming late here. So, just, I don't know. I have a weird feeling that they could do some real damage in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament.
We all worked on a couple different broadcasts this season for Illinois State Soccer. If you don't remember, 1-6-3 in the fall in the conference, not necessarily the record they were looking for. They, of course, let go of their coach, Marissa Kresge, and were able to hire a young, promising coach in Rally DeRose. Our Jaden Cohn was assigned this week to talk to Coach DeRose, which he did. That full 5-minute interview is now for your listening pleasure on WZND.
So my first question for you is, why did you decide to come to ISU?
I decided to come to ISU because I feel like its resources and the student-athlete experience that it provides a young woman here with the soccer program is second to none. The way that the school's been able to support its student-athletes through facilities, through resources, is really inspiring, and I really feel as though it's a place that people can thrive and have the best of both worlds, both when it comes to school and soccer. And I don't feel like you have to compromise one for the other, and I feel like here you can get a top-tier degree in so many different majors, but you also can be a top competitor within the Missouri Valley and with the resources that both are able to offer its student athletes, the academics and the athletics, it seems like a no-brainer.
And then what's your coaching style? Are you more offensive, defensive? How do you plan to take that to the ISU program?
So I've always been a high-energy coach. I've always believed in competitive scenarios that are similar to circumstances that you're going to see on game day are the best teachers for student-athletes. Now, if people ask me I'm more defensive or offensive-minded, I think you have to have a commitment to both. However, I do think if you have a strong defensive prowess amongst your team, you're going to be able to not only build a sense of pride, but you're also going to be able to build a really strong core to your team, so that way you're able to, you know, of course, not concede many goals, but also have the gumption to, when the going gets rough, to be able to find the back of the net. But that's not to say that I don't value offensive style of play. I certainly do. I really think that both are important. I think, though, if you do have your entire team in the mindset that we're going to be a tough defensive team, really hard to break down, that builds a sense of culture and that builds a sense of camaraderie and work ethic in both ends of the ball.
What are some of your goals for this season?
So coming up into the fall season, you know, I certainly want to continue to build on what we're working on right now this spring. And things that I'm really big about this spring are getting a good cohesive team unit, really having a lot of competition at practice, having a lot of good technical activities that are going to be not necessarily just fun, I think that they are, but hopefully, you know, working on good technical attributes with the ball plus fitness with the ball, I think is always a good thing. But I really, really think that going into the fall season, I want to bring that into full play when it comes to 11v11. I want to be, a competitive team, and I want to keep working on our culture, keep working on building ourselves towards that common goal of being a competitive force for the Valley.
And ISU, for the transfer portal, they lost some of their starters. How do you plan to recover for this season?
I think when people leave, there's new opportunities for others to step up, and I think that's a really exciting thing. I think when you are in a program and your name is called upon, you are able to grow and flourish, and I want those players to know that I have confidence in them. I want to help coach them. I want them to learn with that experience as well. And also too, we have, you know, a very good core right now in training. And I think those people are going to have a really good sense of what I'm looking for come the fall. And they're going to bring the other newcomers with them. You know, and certainly help guide them along the way and show them, what ISU soccer is about. And I do want those incoming players as well to know I want to coach them and I want to put them in positions to thrive as well. So whether you're a returner or you're a new player, you know, I want to be able to give you that confidence because again, with people leaving, there's new opportunities for others that I want to focus on more so than what's, you know, who left. I want to focus on who's here.
And building off of that, ISU had a record of like 3-9-4 last season. How do you plan to improve just anything in general?
I think one thing to keep in mind is the past is the past. And I think that if you're looking at last season and you look at the record, it's not, you know, impressive in a lot of senses, and that's okay. Like, I'm here to help rebuild that, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be done overnight, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy feat, but I'm ready to invest in it, and I really want to, and I think that the players are too. And so one thing is we talk about is what's the past is the past. You have to keep your eye ahead on the future, and also you have to focus on what's important now. What's important right now isn't last year's record. What's important now is that we're getting better to fix things, move forward, and have a positive and competitive experience moving forward with hopefully more wins on that.
Thank you to Jaden for providing that interview. The in-person interview with Coach DeRose was turned into a story, which is now available on WZND.com. It was just uploaded just earlier tonight. So if you are interested, go take a read of that one and take a look at Jaden's story. Guys, there's been a number of recent hires in ISU athletics for coaches in recent years. I think back to Ryan Peden, of course, and Coach Allie Matters, and a number of players that are coaches that DeRose now joins. It seems like she's saying the right things, right? She picked ISU out of a bunch because it seems like the place that she wants to create a program, and she wants to be able to continue with a talented roster that just was not able to find their potential in recent seasons. Ben, you watched a lot of those games from a bird's eye view with a camera. What did you think of what you saw from this ISU soccer team in the fall?
Yeah, kind of what you said. Just a team that had a lot of potential and just kind of fell flat. I know that there was a lot of games that they were in that they – you know, some shots just didn't go their way. They played some really good goalkeepers, and I mean, getting in, some fresh blood in there and hoping that you could find something in the water, maybe get some, she could become a really good recruiter as well and get people to pick a normal and stay here for the long run with her.
All right, we're touching all four bases today. We talked about basketball, we talked about soccer. Let's move on to some softball. The Illinois State softball team, their season's underway. They lost their first game of the season at Bethune-Cookman University in Tampa, Florida today, 3-2. In a 9-inning contest. They're playing currently at the University of South Florida in that same tournament at the USF Softball Stadium. Braden, you were the one that reminded me that they are well underway with their season now as of today. And it feels crazy to say that they're starting to play in February, but they could have played here today in this weather.
Yeah, but, you know, thankfully they didn't because, you know, as warm as it is windy, and it gets really windy out by try, so they would not have liked that, but being able to be out in Florida, you know, past couple of years, softball's kind of struggled in non-con during this portion of the schedule. And then, you know, you don't really know whether they're going to look the same way when they get to conference play, but, still just getting into the feeling out process. I know they got a lot of new freshmen. They got a lot of new faces, and it's going to be interesting to see what works for them.
Illinois State softball and baseball will be on WZND this season, 30 broadcasts this season, and we will have a full staff for all of those, some baseball, some softball, starting on March 19th for baseball's first contest. We will be the exclusive carrier of that one against SIUE, so make sure to tune in, and then we get our first softball broadcast that Friday, March 22nd. So both teams will have most of a month to enjoy the sun, and then they'll come back just as winter begins again here in Illinois. In March. When we come back, we'll do three up, three down, our new college football game. You're listening to The Red Zone. One of the three WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. We seemed to have a lot of fun last week with three up, three down. I almost want to say pick six again. I'm just used to it. And it is our college basketball game. Excuse me, I got ridiculed during the break that I accidentally said football. We'll get to more football in the back half of the show. But college basketball, if you missed our show last week, three up, three down is pretty simple. It's as advertised. Each of us and Steve Seitz, our faculty advisor, have picked six games from tonight until next Wednesday, which is the 8th through the 14th, where we will decide if the winner of these games in a pick 'em style thing. However,
using ESPN's matchup predictor, which is obviously a 100% scale, we have to pick three teams that are favored over 50% and three teams that are not favored under 50%. Only one team can be above 80%, and one of our six games has to be in the Valley because it runs deep. So we start with Steve Cease. His first game after a 4-2. Everyone was 4-2 except me because I lost my 80%. Thank you, Norfolk State.
You already had beef with you to begin with.
Yeah, I had beef from the get-go, and then now it's even worse. We move on to Steve's bracket, in which he said tonight, actually had four of his games were tonight. He's trying to get off to a hot start against us, fellas. 4-2 on the season now. Steve with four Thursday games. His first on the Big Ten Network, Iowa visits Penn State. He is going with Penn State, despite Iowa being favored at a 52% clip. So that's his first down. Steve going with the Nittany Lions, and I will just say, ditto. I said the exact same thing. I didn't even look at Steve's first, but I picked Penn State last week. They were one of my three wins, and I was proud of their underdog victory against Indiana, and I'm going to pick them to the exact same thing on the road against the Hawkeyes with a 48% chance of victory. So we move on to Ben Hootie.
Yeah, looking at my picks, I'm staying in the Valley. Not until Saturday, though. Talked about this team earlier with the Drake Bulldogs. They're going to Peoria to take on Bradley this weekend. Bradley is the favorite, being the home team. Really good basketball team. We saw them beat ISU last weekend. They're favored at 58.90%. Give me the Bulldogs. We don't like Bradley here, and Drake is just like the oldest team in the world.
I'm shocked that Drake is not favored in that game. I mean,
know,
Bradley's
right?
good too.
But Drake's really deep, and I kind of like Drake for some reason. I don't know why.
That's a valley line. They didn't really look at that one.
No,
that would be it. Would not be 58%. It'd be way closer.
So.
Be a coin flip. Braden Fogerson.
My first one. It's a marquee matchup. Everyone very very excited for this matchup between two really good teams. Tennessee State versus Lindenwood. Lindenwood hosting, but they are not favored. 70%. That's the clip in favor of Tennessee State. And I agree with that for my first one.
It's like Duke and UNC. It's a rivalry as old as time.
Yes.
Tennessee State and Lindenwood. As Lindenwood just joined D1 2 years ago. So it's a rivalry as old as time. So we go from Iowa on Steve's first pick to a letter change to Iona for his second pick. They're playing Niagara on the road. The favorite is Iona, but don't worry.
Sicko pick.
But don't worry. Steve's going with Niagara at 51%. He's going with that as one of his downs in a coin flip game. Again, he's going with Niagara over Iona tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. So I'm going with my favorite baseball player who's not a Cubs school, in which Tony Gwynn had more career assists at San Diego State than he did strikeouts in his major league career, which is my favorite stat ever. But San Diego State is visiting Nevada tonight at a 55% advantage for Nevada. I'm going with the Aztecs. And I'm taking them as my down pick for number two.
Looking back on Saturday once again, I'm a big fan of the Big East. There's just something about Big East basketball. I picked them last week. I'm going to pick them again. For some reason, UConn has just always stolen my heart when it comes to college basketball, especially last year after I picked them to win the Natty. That ended up being true. They're my up pick, 94% chance to win over Georgetown. Georgetown is in shambles. Give me UConn. That's my over 80.
Number one team in the nation, the Huskies.
Correct.
Are they well on their way to a back-to-back?
Well, anything could happen in March. Maybe I'll pick them again. Who knows? But we'll have to see what happens. This game is getting me back into college basketball.
I watched more college basketball this weekend than I have so far. It's fair enough. But not if Larry Nerd and Indiana State have anything to say about it, by the way. Larry Nerd, Indiana State, and the power of friendship. As a 12 seed against UConn as a 1 seed in the finals.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be awesome.
So funny.
Valley runs deep. Braden?
I've got McNeese over Houston Christian. That's my over 80. They are at 96.7, and I'll just go ahead and take that one.
All right. Another Thursday pick for Steve. This is his third of four. Green Bay versus Robert Morris. Robert Morris is the home team, and they're favorited. But, again, Steve going with Green Bay on a 59% disadvantage. He's going with them as a down, so he has his first three downs out of the way in two games in the bottom end, both at 6 o'clock tonight. And he's going with Green Bay.
the Lions fan going with Green Bay. I'm moving on to Saturday's games. I have on Saturday, it's a classic, Army-Navy. This time, Navy visits Army, and Army is favorited. However, only at 56%. I like Navy in this one. They have a better record on the season. I'm going with them as my down pick. Ben?
Moving forward, at 4:30 on Fox on Saturday. I got all the Saturday slate games going here. Pac-12, UCLA versus Cal. Cal is the favorite as the home team. But Cal's struggling this year, so I'm going for the second week in a row, UCLA. Cal is 59.20% favorites. This is my second down pick.
My last up pick, also on Friday, is going to be actually an honestly good matchup on ESPN. Wake Forest at Duke. Duke is favored by 77%. Looking at the stats and the more specifics, I don't see that as anything more than them just favoring the home team. I think this one might be a pretty tough matchup.
It's funny you mentioned that one, because that's what I'm going with for my fourth pick as well, that Duke win over Wake Forest. As you mentioned, that 77% in favor of Wake Forest seems weird to me. Drake, a solid team at day's end, and had a really gritty win a couple weeks ago. I'll get to that later, but I'm picking Duke as well.
Just to clarify, I also picked Duke.
Yeah,
I almost phrased that like I wasn't picking Duke, but I think that it'll be close, but I still do think Duke will win that.
Yeah, I have Duke as well, and I think what I'm meaning to say is that as a 77% favorite, I think it's honestly should be even a little bit higher. So I'm going with Duke as well on that one. I skipped Steve, though, so I could say I'm taking the same pick as Fogerson. His final Thursday game, this time it's at 8 o'clock. So after he gets through his three down picks at Thursday night at 6, he'll move on to the 8 o'clock Cal State Fullerton taking on UC Davis. UC Davis is the favorite, and he's going with a favorited team. Of course, he has to. He only has up picks left, 73% for UC Davis, and it's good enough for Steve Cease. As I said, my fourth pick is Duke, so we move on to Ben Hootie.
Looking at Sunday, big game day. Got an 11 o'clock start on CBS. Some more Big East action with Seton Hall and Villanova. Villanova, the home team, but they are really struggling this year at 12-13. They are the favorite at 77.60%, but I like the Pirates. Is that what they call them, Seton Hall Pirates? I think so, right?
Ask Frank the Tank.
True. Seton Hall Pirates, I got them upsetting Villanova at home for my down pick.
For me, I've got the Florida State versus Virginia Tech, and Florida State trailing in the favorability. Virginia Tech favored 77.2, and I'm taking Florida State to win at 8 o'clock on Saturday on ESPNU.
Steve finally moves on from tonight to skip the entire weekend and just give us Wednesday, February 14th for his next pick. A really interesting strategy by Steve. However, he's the boss. He's good at this.
Yeah.
7 o'clock on Wednesday night, this is a Valley contest. Northern Iowa visits Valpo. Northern Iowa favored at a 74%. He's going with you and I. We move on to my fifth pick. I'm also going with my Valley pick. And we talked about Drake earlier. I'm waiting until Drake's Tuesday game in which they will visit Evansville. They're favored at 80.6%. Drake, a really scrappy, good team that won the Valley last year and put up a great fight against the team we won't stop talking about, the Sycamores. So I'm taking Drake in this one against an Evansville team. That's gritty. They beat ISU. Not to say that means too much, but Drake's one of the best teams in the Valley.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go. I'm not going in order. I'm going out of order here because Braden mentioned it. I picked the same game, that Florida State Va Tech game, and I like Va Tech at home, actually, Braden. I'm going to fade you on this one.
That's the first time we've had that.
It's one of my up picks.
I think Steve and I did it once last week, but yeah.
But yeah, that's one of my upsets. I love the Hokies. Just such a cool appeal. And there's nothing better when they're and this is completely out of the loop, but college basketball, when they do Enter Sandman at their game, it's the best. Good energy. I like Va Tech at home to beat the Seminoles.
Va Tech. Braden.
Wrapping things up on a Wednesday, I accidentally was putting all my dates down as January, so I almost jacked everything up, but I finally fixed it. On Valentine's Day on Big Ten Network, Iowa at Maryland. Maryland favored by 62%, and I am down on that. I pick Iowa. It's a pretty close matchup. It's nothing crazy.
All right, you guys ready for Steve's big over one, only one pick over 80 pick? I'm surprised none of us do this as often.
Yeah, but I was wondering something about Steve's pick. I thought our games were supposed to be done by Wednesday.
This, I think, counts because it's over by the time the show starts. I think we're gonna have to challenge that. I guess it is a 10 a.m. start on Thursday. Look it up
it's
for
St.
us.
It's St. Mary's
quick.
Though. It's got to be it's got to be a West Coast game.
Is this a valid?
It
pick?
Would have to be a 10 p.m. start, I would think.
Unless I'm throwing the challenge flag. No,
what does
I'm
it
kidding.
Say? Is it 10 p.m. start?
Let's see.
Because this is
yeah 10 p.m. start.
We're gonna question this one. We're gonna talk to Steve about this one. But his pick as of now is Thursday the 15th, so we will have already recorded another Red Zone episode by this time at 10 p.m. Pepperdine and St. Mary's. St. Mary's favorited. He's going with him at 98%. We might have to test him on that and have him pick another over 80.
Especially with it being a 98%er.
Yeah.
Like,
I will text him about that so we can get through that. Good pick. He can keep it for next week if he wants it.
True.
He could. He can move it right into the next column. My last pick is going to be Miami and Clemson on Wednesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. Clemson is the favorite, and I'm taking him at 77%. They went into Cameron Indoor against Drake and almost won just 2 weeks ago. Clemson's a scrappy team, and they are favored in this one at nearly 80%. I see no issue picking Clemson over the U.
Going back to Tuesday, February 13th on ESPN2, Oklahoma at 13, Baylor. Baylor is the favorite at a 73.9% clip. It's my last up pick. I'm taking the Baylor Bears, always a scrappy team. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of Baylor here.
Speaking of Bears, my Missouri Valley pick, I've got Missouri State over Murray State, and that being because they score just slightly better than Murray State, and also they rebound much better. They're favored by 67.5%, and I'm taking Missouri State to upset that.
That's a tongue twister, if you had to call that game. Missouri State and Murray State.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of Bears and Racers if I was calling that game. Very few call-outs of the actual school name.
True.
That's a lot. If you had to say, like, tip-off from Murray State and Missouri State, it sounds like you have, like, something in your mouth.
No, you can't say ISU when ISU faces Indiana State for the same
can't.
Reason. It's the
Sycamores and Redbirds. Or you could say Ill Stew and In Stew. I don't know. I've never liked
good guys, people, bad guys.
Good guys, bad guys. I never liked when people call Illinois State Ill Stew, because if you're a student here, you know that the like email domain that they give us is illstew.edu. So it reminds me of homework, and I don't want to be reminded of homework when we're on the Red Zone. Speaking of which, though, we're going to talk more on the Red Zone in the next half an hour, our final half an hour, about the big game coming up this weekend. In 2023, there was a lot of things on television. I mean, whether you watch streaming or cable or anything like that. Have you ever seen that graphic, though? The first, like, 30 things were football games. And none is more popular than Sunday's main event. They're having an exhibition between the AFC and the NFC. It's a big thing. Some might even say, have adjectives for it, like great or gargantuan, even powerful. There's one specific adjective they usually use, but I'm not going to use it. But there's a big time bowl game coming up on Sunday.
I'm super excited.
And it's between the Chiefs and the 49ers. And it's a rematch of when they did this just 4 years ago in 2020. What are we thinking about this? We got half an hour to talk about it. This is a big game. This feels like this one was set from the start. It's the big game. I mean, you could look at these two teams about halfway through the year, and you could have easily predicted this. But it's a tale of two different cities. Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's start there. Do we think we'd see Brock Purdy at this stage leading the 49ers, thinking back to last season?
I mean, if we're looking back at last season, they're probably in the big game if he didn't end up injuring his hand against Philadelphia, right? I mean,
yeah,
potentially. So, I mean, this kid is just – we talk about Patrick Mahomes as Tom Brady – and I hate calling him kid because he's older than me, so I redact that statement. but he is just he's so fun to watch. I hate when people hate on him on social media, because yes, as much as Kyle Shanahan's system is made for quarterbacks, and most likely any quarterback can succeed, you still got to give him his flowers, because he has managed to bring this team to back-to-back NFC championships, and now bring him to the big game in his second year in the league. And he was Mr. Irrelevant. He's done it all early on, and he's got a great supporting cast behind him, but he deserves as much credit as anyone else.
And this is what's frustrating, sorry, Mikey, about
no,
having
quarterback be such a focal point in a team that, you know, if a team wins any sort of big playoff game, you know, they look at the quarterback. And if a team lost a big playoff game, they blame the quarterback. That you pick a guy that beats out the number two pick in the overall draft as Mr. Irrelevant pick that, you know, takes a team that just has so much talent that you don't have to have a home run hitter of an arm, that, you know, that should work. And people should be happy and excited about the fact that when you put that many players around a guy, that they can succeed, and that you can prove, you know, by building a really nice team, you can make something out of someone that a lot of people think is nothing. I mean, it's how Tom Brady got started. Tom Brady was a fifth round pick or whatever, wasn't supposed to be anything great, but had an amazing team around him, and he turned himself into a legend. And I think the idea that people want to have QB as such a focal point that everyone assumes a QB that takes their team to this point has to be a superstar, and all of that just makes it to where anyone that doesn't feel like Brock Purdy is a superstar says, well, I hate that everyone loves Brock Purdy because I don't think he's a superstar. And in reality, Brock Purdy's not supposed to be a superstar. He's just good enough to do the job, which is leading an unbelievable offense with a great defense to back it up into the playoffs and have a big run. And so that's what Brock Purdy is. I don't think he's a superstar. But I just think that because of his position, people expect him to be considered one.
From the desk of Steve Cease, by the way, before we continue with the big game, his words were he thought that game for Pepperdine and St. Mary's was Wednesday, not next Thursday. He said, let me find another, and within seconds texted, I'll do two Valley games. Give me the trees over the birds instead. So the theme of our episode, Indiana State, remains. And just before we ended that segment, we talked about when ISU plays ISU. That'll happen on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at Terre Haute, and Steve's going with the Sycamores against the Redbirds for his 80% pick and also two Valley games. So he had one loaded. He had one ready for us if we questioned the challenge flag on the other one. So he says he's going with the Sycamores over the Birds. But back to the big game. I think you guys hit the nail on the head with that. There was that story that came out, and Brandon alluded to it, with Brock Purdy was the man. Shanahan met with him after the season, like, hey, we're trading Trey Lance. Like, you are our guy unless Tom Brady calls. Mm-hmm. And Purdy said something along the lines, and I respected his quote, like, I would have understood, but, like, I'm super glad he didn't, because Purdy has believed in himself that he has that ability to be that good. Shanahan himself said something along the lines of he was shocked that Purdy dropped that far. Like, Shanahan, in his book during that draft, had him lined up for a fourth-round pick or so, for a Dak Prescott or somebody like that. Mm. And that is huge to hear, that Shanahan is such a great talent evaluator and has been a coach that's made it to this point before, saw that in Brock Purdy earlier on, waited on him and drafted him in the seventh round with the last overall pick, and now he's led the team to the NFL championship.
Yeah. So I saw a funny story the other day about old coach Matt Rhule. He's at Nebraska now, and he went during a press conference or whatever for Nebraska. He's always making excuses about his time with the Panthers, and he openly mentioned that he told the Panthers front office, like, I really like this Purdy guy. And it's funny because Matt Rhule is still making excuses. Shout out Alex Berger and his Panthers prediction fandom. But yeah, he's like, I really like this Purdy guy. I tried to tell them, and that's why I'm not the coach anymore. But no, you guys are all right. He's a great player, and I hate when the media gets on him for some reason, because he's done it 2 years in a row, and he's just, I only think the legend is going to grow greater, and it can become superstar if he wins this game on Sunday.
And I think the reason he's so successful is because he's a fellow comm major.
He studied, what did he study, journalism?
I don't think it was like straight communications, but it was some branch of communications. I was like, oh, I didn't even know
at
that.
ISU. Another true. ISU. Yes. Iowa State. The theme of this episode has been schools called it's a Jeopardy category. Schools called ISU 400. I can't think of two more off the top of my head. Maybe somebody on Twitter can or something, but we at least have Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa State University.
Could be like an Idaho, probably.
I think there is an Idaho.
Definitely.
State. Probably. There has to be. The answer's out there somewhere, Ben, as he goes to click away on it. I think the other thing about what you said about Matt Rhule,
Ben, you can always, there's always the talent evaluator.
Idaho State Bengals.
Okay. Yeah. There's always the talent evaluator that there's going to be that woulda, coulda, like, oh man, we definitely passed on this Purdy guy. It's the same thing that teams multiple times passed on Tom Brady. I don't think we're ready to compare Brock Purdy to Tom Brady, but there was a great Instagram post I saw today that it was like, which of these ringless young quarterbacks is going to be the first to win a big game? And it was like Burrow and Prescott and Justin Herbert and Justin Fields and
Jalen Hurts
and Brock Purdy. And then all the comments were like, huh, maybe the guy who's one win away from
yeah.
it. Like, I would think that his odds right now are pretty good. That's the craziest part when you think about it from that perspective. You see Pat Mahomes in this game. We'll get to Mahomes probably a little bit more in the next segment of this big game. But you see Pat Mahomes, who's just used to being there at this point. He's got two rings on his fingers already. He's just used to it. Like, he doesn't make plans for February because he knows he's going to be playing football season that late.
Right.
And then on the other end, it's Brock Purdy, who with the win reaches a new level, a level that all those other people I named off have never won. I mean, whether or not you can bank on a supporting cast of the Avengers of offense or not, to win a big game like that puts you in a league of your own. I mean, you've seen Kurt Warner and other undrafted players win a big game before, but it really takes him from that Mr. Irrelevant status to this guy's won a big game.
Yeah. And that's how Tom Brady started, too.
Yeah.
It was just this no-name guy out of Michigan that was a little chunkier on the ends. And
yep.
Man, to win his first big game and then do it again. And, yeah, I mean, as long as he's got the supporting cast, which I kind of wanted to shift into that next,
yeah.
because you got to give a huge shout out to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, the job that they've done.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're a football fan, especially if you're a Niners fan, you're lucky, because I would wish that a team like, you know, my Bears would end up doing and just put it all on the table. They made a drastic mistake years ago when they drafted Trey Lance, and they gave away all that draft capital because they thought that they found the guy. Sure enough, their guy was Mr. Irrelevant, but besides that, they have managed to get so much done, whether it's the trade for Christian McCaffrey, who is arguably, I would say, the best player in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
What he does to that run game and pass game and that offense, extending George Kittle, finding players like Fred Warner, and going out at the trade deadline while he hasn't been the greatest and getting Chase Young. They're not afraid to make moves because it has been too long since a ring has returned to the Bay, and they've managed to build, as you just said, they've built the Avengers. Their roster, top to bottom, it's the reason why they're the favorite. They're the better roster in this game.
They are favored by 1.5, at least last I checked.
So it'll shift throughout.
But you can currently take the Chiefs to cover 1.5, which is we'll get on that at 45, and we go to the next segment. We'll focus more on the Chiefs because I think the Chiefs as a points underdog in the big game is crazy. But
yeah.
You look at the Avengers on the other side, and it's guys that have been there before. It's a great tight end in George Kittle. It's a great receiver in Deebo Samuel. It's a team that many of the players lost to this same team mm-hmm. 4 years ago. Not only are they the Avengers on offense, they have that drive. They're not only back in the game, they're playing the same team, the same Hall of Fame quarterback, the same Hall of Fame coach, the same Hall of Fame tight end, and a new girlfriend. They're playing an entirely different scheme. And Braden's over there sighing at Ben saying it's time to
run. Oh, no. I was sighing because Chase Young's Pro Football Reference has Predator in parentheses. I'm like, why is that his nickname?
It's his nickname, I guess.
Yeah, but that's not where they normally put.
Oh, it's like in his bolded type, like
yeah,
in his name
like,
line?
Yeah, I'm like, why is that?
You're not looking at Wander Franco?
That's what I would think, yeah.
That's a good one. I would think that the bold type wouldn't be where they had that. Usually there's like a separate line, like when we did the Dick Butkus show after Dick Butkus passed away, RIP, we were talking about his nicknames. That's a separate line on the Football Reference.
Yeah.
It was the robot of, what was it, the robot of Doom or something like
yeah,
that. I forget.
Yeah.
Destroyer of Worlds or something like that.
We're thinking of Robert J. Oppenheimer.
Yeah, we're thinking of something. Yeah, over here. As we get into the Chiefs in the next segment, let's put a bow on the San Francisco 49ers. We're getting really hype about the 49ers. We'll talk about their opponent after this. But Braden, let me hear from you. What is it about this 49ers team that makes you agree with me and Ben and makes you think they could go out and win this game?
Yeah, I mean, in theory they can win, but I mean, theory will only take you so far.
perfect. We're cooking right now.
I just think both of these teams are so good, and we'll be obviously, like you said, we'll get into the Chiefs next. But I just feel like this
is about as well together you can put a team. And the Christian McCaffrey trade was a little bit of a risk that could have not panned out if the injuries that he had before he was traded continued to be a big problem. And instead, he just becomes a phenomenal player. He's got great blocking around him, and he can take advantage of it. He's got great abilities after contact. And I mean, the Chiefs don't defend the run well. So I feel like if the Niners are going to do really well offensively, I would expect that to be the focus, is that they can run well. But crazier things have happened than just completely flipping a script and having something else work entirely.
A lot of people I've seen this week have brought up exactly what you were alluding to, that run defense. A lot of people are talking about that Raiders game on Christmas Day when Josh Jacobs was out, right? Mm. It was Zamir White.
It was our backup. Yeah,
Zamir
right.
White.
It was our backup.
Zamir White back. Just ran it up mm-hmm. their throat. Aiden O'Connell didn't throw a single pass in the second half, and the Raiders, who are nowhere to be found right now in the playoffs.
Well, you didn't have to go there.
I'm sorry. But they were able to beat the Chiefs on Christmas yeah. Day, which was a month and a half ago. That's what a lot of people are looking at when they're like, you know, maybe the 49ers have a really good chance to yeah. win this, and maybe by a lot.
That day made me so happy. But wouldn't it be crazy if the reason the Niners won and finally got over that hump was because of learning something that the Raiders did?
Fair enough.
That'd be crazy.
They'd have to ship a ring that way, but I mean, they're already going to be in that stadium using their locker room.
Yeah.
Albeit, the only game that really showed weakness for the 49ers this year was their contest against the Baltimore Ravens on Christmas Day, in which Brock Purdy tossed four dead ducks and four interceptions. And two of them went off hands. But one thing, as we talk about a weak Chiefs run defense, is that the Chiefs have kind of leaned on a really good secondary. That could affect Brock Purdy, too. That could, if they could get Brock Purdy to start throwing the ball, that could get really big. That's why I think Christian McCaffrey's going to run for 4,000 yards in this game.
I can't wait to get into that in the second half, because the another big key of this game is Steve Spagnuolo and his defense.
Mm-hmm. Not Matt Nagy and his offense.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that. Well, maybe. No.
He's a quarterback's coach. He doesn't.
Yeah, well.
He doesn't coach Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes does his own coaching.
He snuck the binder to Andy Reid, or to Patrick Mahomes, he would impress Andy Reid. Matt Nagy is a talent evaluator. He's one step over Matt Rhule. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Chiefs on WCND. A lot of really solid NFC teams trailed through the NFC playoffs, but the 49ers ended up getting the spot. But we look over at the AFC side, and there were also some really solid teams that trickled through. I mean, the Ravens gave the Niners a great loss on Christmas Day. There was the Bills, who really were scrappy this season and really seemed like they had put it together. There are a lot of teams that if they would have gotten a matchup with the Niners, I would have felt pretty confident in the Niners. Shanahan and the Niners have to feel a little bit, whether or not they admit it, they have to be a little bit like, ugh, that they have to go play this team again. And when they lost to them the first time, it was young Mahomes, who had never won one of these before. Now he's won another one and only lost to Tom Brady in his other one. So he is used to this game at this point, four out of the last five. And, of course, I'm alluding to Patrick Mahomes and the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. We end the show with this. We talked a lot of stuff about the 49ers, but in their way is an incredible team.
Yeah, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about them last year. We talked about them in 2020. We talked about them when they lost to Tom Brady. They just keep on doing this, and it's, you just got to give so much credit to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, the job that they've been able to do. And you mentioned earlier, and I kind of thought back to this, how this is the same team that the 49ers lost to, what was it, 4 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
But really, when we look at this Chiefs roster, it's really not the same team.
No.
They've really only kept four anchors around in Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Pat Mahomes, and Chris Jones. Besides that, there's been a lot of turnover in Kansas City, and they've been able to defy the odds every single year and get back to the big game. And here they are again, and you can't count them out.
Yeah, well, Brady and Belichick swapped out their role players too.
That is true.
Thing is, when you got your anchors, they have a winning formula, that's for sure. I mean, Kane and Tave's a different guys year in and year out, but at the end of the day, you got your Hall of Famers, and they're gonna take you the whole way.
is it quick to say that they're already a dynasty in the NFL? It's been the big talking point all week. Does that, do you need to see them win this weekend, or is it four out of the last five AFC championships just enough of it, of itself already?
I think if you get to a 5-year period where at the end of it, you go from the team that everyone was rooting for to beat the previous dynasty to the team that everyone wants to lose and you don't lose, even though you have the worst regular season and set yourself up the worst that you have so far. You're in dynasty territory, and I would definitely not bet against that. But
if they win this one, this is a dynasty. 3 out of 5 years is we've really only seen that out of teams like the Patriots, and before that, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and that was before we were even a thought.
Yeah.
So
don't get it twisted. They probably would have beat the Packers in 2021 as well, because it came down to the Packers and the Bucks in the NFC Championship, and then LaFleur decided to kick when they should have gone for it in the classic move that, you know, set Rodgers apart from the Packers basically. And I'm speaking as a Bears fan, but also this is a true thing. I mean, both LaFleur and Rodgers have talked about it since then on Pardon My Take and things like that. But LaFleur decides to go for it. The Bucs defense wins that game, and then the Bucs defense wins the big game and holds Mahomes to only 9 points. You would think that, I mean, not to say the Packers weren't also great that year, but you would think the Chiefs would have had a great shot against the Packers in that game as well. So, that's the only time Mahomes has ever lost in the big game. And he probably has his sights set on another one this weekend. You can't underestimate, as we said, the 49ers defense, but this Chiefs team has just clicked. It was so much talk the whole season. Oh man, they missed Tyreek Hill so much. Oh man, Kelsey's over the hump. Blah, 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 blah. All that matters is they sneak in and turn it on. And as we've seen, as they just rolled everybody else, I mean, they rolled the Dolphins. They had a tough win against the Bills, and then they rolled the Ravens. It doesn't seem like nothing can stop them now.
Yeah, you gotta give them a lot of credit, because this was the first season I feel like they really had their backs against the wall with the media, and not saying Taylor Swift was a bad thing for them, but more eyes were on them.
It added
and
publicity.
More, and they became more hated, I feel like, as that went along as well. But now, and especially the biggest thing of it all was the drops problem. You got to give a lot of credit for Mahomes for not publicly outing his guys the entire season, even though this wide receiver core was abysmal. Even Kelsey at times, he has to have had some of the most drops in the league. I don't know what the exact stat is on it, but he dropped a lot of big balls this year. And but yeah, looking back on it, like they've defied the odds, and you said they played a tough Bills team that everyone was kind of projecting the Bills to finally get over that hump, be the Chiefs. They couldn't. A Ravens team that everybody was projecting to go to the Super Bowl got past them and was able to do it. So you got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, and you know what? I just feel like, to me, this Chiefs team, it just feels like helpless a little bit to face them, because it feels like when things go right, they're still able to get things going. And you know, their receiving core has had a lot of complaints about drops and things like that. And, you know, ever since Hill's left, it's been a little bit of an adjustment, I would say, to, you know, how do you work with the receiving core they have now? You know, they won it all last year without him, and then they're back again. And it's just, this team works really well. Their running backs, you know, even being, you know, at the back of the first round, I mean, honestly, that's the right place to be picking to get a good running back, because running backs don't go that early in a draft. And so the running backs they've drafted recently have worked out. Their defense is really good. They've got some really good leaders there. Their team as a whole just works. And I mean, you know, I just, what are you going to do about Mahomes? He's just unbelievable.
Brayden alluded to it in the beginning of this segment. This quote that keeps flying around from, I believe it's from The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Rises, that you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And people keep using that quote with the Chiefs because it's true. And I've gotten this notion. I never was one for this. Like, I kind of like seeing teams, maybe it's the Blackhawks fan of me growing up, I kind of like seeing teams win multiple championships. It's cool to see a dynasty build. It's cool to see sustained success. But when people would hate on the Golden State Warriors, people would hate on the Brady Patriots and this Chiefs team and a number of teams that have just put together awesome runs in sports, can you guys remember off the top of your head a dynasty in our lifetime in sports that wasn't, you know, universally hated like this outside of their fan base? Because it seems to happen to every team. And this short-term We've literally seen it happen in the 2020s, the Chiefs. It's gone from a team that everybody was rooting for to a team that everyone dislikes, mostly because they won, quote, too much. I never really got behind that.
I think every dynasty has been like that, and I think it's easy in hindsight to be like, oh, we saw greatness. Like, every time that person stepped on the field or on the court or, you know, pitched, whatever, we saw greatness out of that team and that, you know, those legends. But people like to see new things. People like to see, you know, Joe Burrow lead his team to the big game and give it his all against the Rams and things like that, as opposed to a team that was rolling. I mean, the Bulls in the 90s, a dynasty. Chicago loves it. Illinois loves it. But think of all of the legendary NBA players that never got to lead their team to a championship because, as amazing as they were, as well together a team as there were around the NBA, they still just could not beat him. And so I think, you know, in retrospect, you've got to respect it, but also it's very frustrating to have, you know, moments like that where all the legends of the NBA or, you know, things like that, to just people in the way. You want new people. You want as many people to get that amazing opportunity as possible.
That's a great point, Braden. Because even Brady had those years, those little crack years in between where other guys were able, the Barclays of that era, and those people were able to win their championships. I mean, you're looking at Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers in the early 2010s, and you're looking at Peyton Manning against the Bears, and even Eli Manning twice against Brady himself. I mean, there were years where, and Nick Foles, of course, there were years where these guys who are future Hall of Famers were able to still find a way to squeak out at least one ring. This is quickly becoming potentially the case for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe if you're a Josh Allen, if you're a Joe Burrow, you're going to get your one chance. You better not blow it, because at this rate, what we're seeing for Patrick Mahomes, he's putting together an even better than Brady resume.
And who knows? Has Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts already got their last chance?
Who knows? Honestly.
That's what you got to put in perspective.
I mean,
the
Barkley Suns only went to the finals that one time. Who knows? You never ever know.
It's when you guys were talking about it, though, talking about you know, hating dynasties and whatnot, I was thinking about going back to Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
For some reason, when Brady shifted over to Tampa Bay, everyone started to like
this
him.
This is also true.
And it's because, as exactly what you said, we love to see new things. It's been it was a long time since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had won the big game. So everyone wanted to see that roster win a ring.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that's what happened. So I don't know. It's definitely getting there with Patrick Mahomes and these potential cracks, or maybe not. But if he's on Brady watch, if he wins this one, it's going to be a long time before he wins the next one.
Yeah,
if it's that similar track as Brady.
Right. Like if he wins, you know, Sunday, and then he wins four within the next 2 years, like another one for ring number four would be, then it's looking at like, holy cow, this guy we might have had the greatest ever and then the greatest ever. Like literally right after him. But you have the LeBron and Michael argument, and that's, I have a feeling we're going to start having that argument. Like, our kids are going to start having that argument 20 years from now. Who is better, Mahomes or Brady? All this stuff. But the thing about Michael and LeBron is there was a couple years in between where, like, I mean, they did play at the same time, but Jordan was well past his prime. I mean, the only person to beat Mahomes in the playoffs, including a big game, is Burrow and Tom Brady. So Brady did get some chances at Patrick Mahomes. That'll always have over his head.
I think that and we are so far removed, potentially, unless he can go on some crazy streak in the next.
Yeah.
He go in back to back to back to back. I think if Mahomes could get to that coveted seven with the stats to back it up, I think that he would pass Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But we are so far away from that.
Yeah. And potentially with another team. People have always pinned his name next to the Dallas Cowboys. Could he make the Cowboys likable?
Pat Mahomes?
No, that'd be horrible. Would it be a huge – it wouldn't be the Bucks. Would it be villainous? Well, the logic is different. The Bucks had won a championship before the Cowboys had won a championship.
I think the Cowboys are the only franchise hateable enough that they've had a long time without sustained success, and people still don't like
them. But the logic – I agree, but the Ben logic, which I agreed with at the time, was that the Bucks hadn't won in 20 years, 2002. The Cowboys hadn't won in 30 years, since the early 90s.
Thank goodness.
So maybe the Pat Mahomes could make the Cowboys a team that you would cheer for.
I don't want to say the Cowboys, but what would be like the Tom Brady, Buccaneers, Patrick Mahomes equivalent, if it's not the Cowboys.
The Bears. Because of the draft stories.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
maybe.
Because for the rest of his Hall of Fame career, in his Canton speech, people are still going to somehow find ways to report it back to Chicago media saying, the guy the Bears could have drafted was inducted into Canton today. They're always going to find a way. And now, especially with this Caleb Williams prospect stuff coming out, people keep bringing it up.
I'm thinking like maybe like Caroline.
you
somewhere,
like
somewhere warm. Warm.
We got 2 minutes left for any predictions if we want to make.
Yeah, hit it.
I don't know if I want to. I kind of lean Chiefs, but I hate them both. I don't really care. So, and they're both very good. They'd both be very deserving in terms of talent, not in terms of being good people. But
make a pick.
Yeah, I'd pick the Chiefs.
Okay, Ben.
Yeah, I've been riding with them all playoffs. There's just something about Mahomes when it, the clock or when the year turns around, and
yeah.
I just it's weird because we hyped up the 49ers and everyone was so disappointed with the Super Bowl match or with this big game matchup. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
You couldn't ask for a better script.
Me too. This is the best scenario out of. I mean, the Lions were fun, but out of the four we had left, this is the best scenario.
Yes.
I agree with you. Chiefs in this one. The Niners are an awesome team. The Avengers, as we like to call them. I think they could easily win this, but I would be sorely mistaken if I'm going to go against Patrick Mahomes in a game like this. Thank you for listening to The Red Zone. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll be back next Thursday to talk about how wrong we all were. Have a good night.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson will now drive inside. Going to find Mary Crockett for her first three of the day. And it's good.
We owned the league last year.
And personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
JD, I've got five.